Hello, welcome to the Box Room podcast. Next generation.
Yeah, I think we went with the next generation, even though it involves no new people and we are in fact older.
Yes, but we are in a different house and we're not in a box room anymore. But
that's true.
Don't let that ruin your experience.
A very special experience.
Yes, it will be a very special experience. What we're doing this time, we're kind of like... We're not reinventing the wheel or anything. We just wanted to do some more podcasting. Jen dragged me in back into the podcasting world with this and said, hey, we should do a podcast again. And so that's why we're here.
Yes. So if you have never heard of the Box Room podcast, and there is no reason why you should have, we used to do a podcast about 10 years ago.
Was it? My God, really? That long
ago? Well, it feels about 400 years ago, but it was
only known you a few weeks.
Back in the time when you were allowed to leave your house,
yeah.
We used to do a podcast where we essentially just talked nonsense for about an hour, and a lot of weird stuff happened in it. And we recorded it in the tiniest room in our old flat, which was the Box Room, which is why it was called the Box Room Podcast. That's essentially all you need to know.
That's it. Yeah, that's it in a nutshell. And so why can you tell me what inspired you to do this particular one? Because we've gone a bit different this time. We're going to try and keep it a bit more trim, like half an hour, rather than like a rambling hour that we did before.
Supposedly.
We're going to tackle different genres of films, like three films from each sort of genre that we can currently muscle up the interest in.
Yeah. Well... I mean, I just thought it would be interesting to do the Box Room podcast, but have it with a bit more of a structure and have a theme that we could talk about each week. And given that we are both really indecisive, I thought it would probably make more sense if we both chose a theme and then did alternate episodes about the theme that we chose. So I chose to do folk horror because I'm quite into that these days. So this episode will be about folk horror. And specifically the film The Wicker Man. And then next episode, Marty gets to choose a genre of his own and a film of his own. Or even a TV show or a book or anything, really. It doesn't have to be a film.
That's a good point. I never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
My genre of choice for that is time travel. So I'm trying to come up with a list of three films that aren't Back to the Future 1, 2 or 3.
I'm very proud of you for attempting it.
It's my go-to comfort film. Trilogy.
Yes. Okay. Well, we didn't actually introduce ourselves, did we?
Oh, my name's Marty.
Hello, my name is Jen. I write books.
I don't. I used to pretend I did under the name Doug Strider, but that kind of trailed off a bit. Hopefully I'll get back into it again.
You're composting is what
that's the term, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm composting.
You're thinking about it for several years and then eventually writing something, which is a very accurate writer experience, I think.
Yeah, I think it's valid. Mm. It checks out. It's an old code, but it does check out.
So, shall I say why I picked The Wicker Man?
Yes, do. I'm interested because I'm not sure what your other films are. Yeah,
I'm not sure that I know yet what they are.
I'm interested to find out why you picked this one.
I picked The Wicker Man because I'd never actually seen it properly. It's one of those films that you know a few of the really iconic scenes from, like a naked lady waggles her bum in front of a door and and man burns to death in a big giant other man. and Christopher Lee has a really wild wig on. But that's all I knew about. Well, you know, I knew the cultural references that you see everywhere because of The Wicker Man. I hadn't actually seen it. And I recently, well, not recently really, but I finished a book a little while ago called Dog Rose Dirt, which is very much involved with folklore and folk horror and the general scariness of the countryside. So... it's very much a subject I'm interested in at the moment. And I thought, why not? Let's watch The Wicker Man because it's got loads of bonkers folk music in it as well, which I also like. Yeah, so that's why I thought we should do The Wicker Man just as a first go at it.
I think likewise, why I was happy to do this is because I haven't actually watched it properly either.
Mm.
You know, I've seen bits of it here and there, and it didn't rock my world or anything when I was younger. I thought it's me. It's kind of sometimes you think, oh, it's about time I actually sat down and gave that a go. I think my first impressions were I didn't know how Scottish it was.
Yeah.
It's like I'm an idiot and I don't know anything about these classic films.
Well, I mean, why would you know? So a brief kind of rundown of The Wicker Man, which we watched yesterday?
I think so.
Time no longer has any meaning, obviously, so we don't know when things happen.
Brain.
So The Wicker Man was made in 1973. So you were...
I was one year old.
No wonder you weren't into it.
Yeah. They tried to put it out in front of me, but I wasn't having any of it.
Watching Super Ted.
Where's me rough?
And it was directed by Robin Hardy. It starred Edward Woodward, who in this household we refer to as Ewa Woowa, for reasons we can't really remember anymore. So I think it was the punchline of a joke, but can't remember the joke. Also starring Britt Ekland, who I think came into my hairdresser's once and had her hair done.
I've forgotten about that.
It was one of those things where she, you know, it was one of these 1960s, 70s sex kitten actresses, blonde. She had a tiny little dog with her, massive sunglasses, and she came in to have her roots done.
Oh, textbook.
And we were all stunned. It's especially weird if you know which hairdresser I go to, which is a really tiny hairdresser around the corner, populated mostly by old ladies and me. So yeah, that was quite weird.
That's more of a coven than a hairdresser.
Yeah, it really is. Also starring, of course, Christopher Lee. Big fan.
Like, I think one of my thoughts was, why haven't I watched this sooner? Because it's got like The Equalizer and Dracula in it.
Yeah. What a team up.
Yeah. It's like it's straight in there.
So Edward Woodward plays a policeman who goes to the island of Summer Isle to investigate a missing child. And then obviously everything goes very wrong and he should have left almost immediately.
The other thing I did not know about this film was, there's quite a few things I didn't know. There's everything I didn't know about it. I'm so sorry for my ignorance. I didn't know he was a copper.
Did you not?
No.
Okay.
Because you know, as previously proved, I'm an idiot. I didn't know that there's so much bums and boobies.
There's a lot of, yeah, there's a kind of 1970s level of any chance to get some minge or bum on screen.
And Ewa Woowa's little face, like when he's like staring at it, going, what the is going on there?
What?
Oh, and then he goes off grumpily somewhere else.
Yeah, I think almost my favourite example of that is him coming out of the pub and seeing people just boning on the lawn. And he just watching them.
Well, it must be a full moon.
I mean, would you not just leave immediately? You'd be like, yeah, do you know what?
Okay, yeah, I'm out of here, man.
Yeah. In fact, on my notes it says, good dose of 70s nudity on here.
Bum and boobies, bum and boobies.
Yeah, lots of nudity and a lot more music than you were expecting.
Oh, that's the other thing. Yeah, it was like, I actually asked, is this a musical? And you said yes, and you weren't joking.
Well, I mean, this is, you know, going by things that I've read on the internet, but supposedly halfway through the director broke it to his actors that they were actually doing a musical, which I love the sort of chaotic nature of that. But I really enjoyed the music in it because I quite like all that sort of weird, dark and ominous folk music.
No, yeah, it didn't jar at all. I didn't hate it. I'm not the greatest fan of musicals. Like, every time they break into song on things, I do the whole rolling eye thing. Oh, I want like a cup of tea while they're fannying about over there. But you know, because it actually does add to the whole atmosphere. I thought, so you're right.
Mm, yeah, it's very creepy. Which I enjoyed. So Christopher Lee in it plays the Lord of Summer Isle.
Yes.
With some extraordinary clothing choices, which I really enjoyed.
And mad hair.
And really Christopher Walken-esque hair, kind of that get My favourite thing about it really was it kind of changed wildly from scene to scene in some places. You know, it did.
When they were doing scenes up on Cliff Over the Rocks, when it was like really windy, obviously, everyone was suffering, but his hair just like went woomph.
It's incredible. Nuts. Also, he just has the best voice, which we already know, obviously, Christopher Lee being a major legend in so many things.
Yeah.
Weirdly, these days I think of him first as being Count Dooku, which is probably a bit unfair on him. Yeah, when obviously I should be thinking of Saruman.
Yeah. It's so weird.
Being in that, sorry. But I've watched a lot of Clone Wars. But just one of the best voices in the business and just the sort of person that adds such an enormous clout of respectability to any film.
Yeah. You can almost say anything that you've ever seen him in, you can almost see the other actors going, I've got to up my game.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's Christopher Lee.
And he wears, this is an interesting, genuine, true fact, that he wears what is officially the yellowest jumper that's ever appeared in a film.
Yes, that was particularly shockingly yellow. That was if you could describe the most yellow, that would be it.
It's, peak yellow. The other thing that I found interesting about it, that I think we talked a little bit about while we were watching, was, you know, obviously Edward Woodward is there as a policeman, but he's also a very, very religious man. He's a Christian, and they, you know, he's banging on about it a lot, and he is very disapproving of all of their shenanigans, but not just because of the boning on the lawn and all that stuff, but because it's paganism, and he finds that obviously, you know, disgusting, the heathens and stuff. And I think several times when we were watching, I did say to you, are we supposed to be on his side? Because I wasn't. And I kind of felt like he deserved it in the end.
I think we both agreed on that one. Like, everyone else was having a whale of a time.
They were having a great time. Yeah.
Yes, okay, they kill someone every year, but, you know, they're not... It's not all bad. But the old Obi-Wars thing as well, that really... That's something... Myself and my folks have witnessed down in Padstow.
From the countryside, this is what they do in
the country. It's great. It's a great day. Everyone starts drinking as soon as they wake up.
See, this sounds good to me. It sounds like they're all having a great time.
Absolutely right.
Having a sing-song in the pub. I was very upset that he interrupted their sing-song.
That was so rude.
He was like, how dare you?
What the... And he was so grumpy and was like shouting. Like, you know, it was like staying somewhere. It's like, oh, I'll have my dinner now. Is it ready?
Yeah. What a tit.
What an absolute tit.
Yeah.
So in the end, because, like, I'm not a very religious man myself. So, like, him banging on about Jesus all the time, it was, like, really starting to get on my nerves after a while.
Yeah, he's not very sympathetic.
No.
Which made me open.
I mean, everyone
curious.
Should be able to be free to worship whoever, whatever, how they like, with no... The argument from me at all. It's just, I think maybe that was part of the character. It was a jarring of the paganism to the Christianity. Was they were really trying to show how much at loggerheads that particular kind of belief was.
Yeah, and it made me wonder if when it came out in the 70s, if people would have taken it a different way, you know.
Yeah, product of its time.
Yeah, I genuinely don't really know how people would have reacted then, because there's a bit in it where he says you're living in a Christian country, and I was like, how dare you say that? Like, you know, because that's very not, I feel like we're not, you know, I don't think it's in this country. I think you should be allowed, obviously, as you said, to worship wherever you like, you know, have any sort of religious freedom. But the fact that you said that really annoyed me, and I thought, but maybe, you know, in the early 70s that wouldn't have seemed like such an outrageous statement. You know, maybe because we both went to Church of England primary schools, didn't we? You know, and
we've been programmed to know the Lord's Prayer off by heart for the rest of our lives.
So in the early 80s and the late 70s, at least, that sort of Christian religion was still very much a part of people's upbringing. If you were going to, you know, primary school in England, there's a good chance you were learning, you know, hymns and prayers and what have you. So maybe it was a different, you know, into a different atmosphere.
With that in mind, then, do you think Iwawuwa was a sympathetic character? Was
I don't know. So that I didn't find him sympathetic, but I wonder if he was supposed to be more sympathetic than he was. Mm. Having said that, though, I think maybe, in fact, more accurately, the idea is that he is a knob and you're kind of not on his side. And you're like, oh, stop messing up their, you know, their May Day celebrations.
Yeah.
You're so dreadful. And then at the end, what happens to him is so kind of horrific.
Mm.
You do feel bad for him. So at the end, I did think, actually, that's pretty awful.
He was, his moral compass was firmly fixed in that area, and he wasn't wavered from it. He was true to his beliefs towards the end. But, also they did warn him, said, you don't want to be around here.
Repeatedly, they told him to go home.
Excuse me, can you just, like, you know, Jeff off?
Yeah. So, you know, your own fault.
Yeah.
Edward, sorry.
But then someone messed with his, like, you know, police plane, so he couldn't get away anyway. Yeah,
that was pretty weird.
Mm.
One of the other things we did talk about briefly while we were watching it was how recognisable it is because of other things that we've watched.
So, the influences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So things like we were talking about the League of Gentlemen.
Absolutely, the local shop.
The local shop. Yes.
God, that was really obvious. I didn't realise.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't really watched the film before.
No.
I didn't know where exactly.
No, I had no idea about the whole.
Could have come from.
Sweet shop of death that is in there, sort of terrifying cake of a dead baby or whatever it is.
Which they cooked in like a coffin shaped.
Oh, the massive bread child that was made in a coffin sized tin. That was amazing. I mean, this to me, Summer Isle sounds like a great place. I'd be well up for it. But we did get that strong sense of Royston Vasey from it. And
yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. And it was so obvious. Now it's like you realize. I realized I should watch more old shit so I can like learn to do some comedy that people might like.
Well, yeah, I mean, I imagine that the guys who write League of Gentlemen are all massive horror nerds, or at least Mark Gatiss certainly is, isn't he?
Yeah, we're saying about Gatiss, aren't we? He's like a big example of loving that.
Yeah, so I'm not surprised, I guess, that stuff like that crops up in it. Mm. And also for me, it was, I think, the whole storyline of, you know, an outsider goes to a very remote place and is gradually kind of... realizes that the people there are up to no good is such a classic horror storyline. It kind of reverberates in loads of different films, including Midsommar, which I watched a little while ago, I think probably while you were asleep.
Doesn't sound like me.
I should have looked up the name of the director because that would have been sensible to have that information. But that essentially has a very similar plot about people going to a remote place and kind of being there more as tourists and in a kind of everything's going to be fine kind of way, and then gradually it becomes very clear that it's not.
Is that on our list to watch?
It might be. It might be, yeah.
I've not seen it, obviously, because I was asleep.
Yes. It's good. It's very weird.
I'll be up for that.
But it has the same kind of, I think, the ending of The Wicker Man, where you see the Wicker Man as well, which I think is such a brilliant shot that's so kind of scary, even though, you know, we spent a lot of time watching the film kind of having a laugh. When you get to that scene, we suddenly both went really quiet.
Yeah.
Because it's like, actually, that's quite...
Yeah, that's not right, man.
Scary. And that whole bit is really, you know, I'm not sure what the right word is for it, but there's something about it that kind of... It really hits you and you're like, okay, this is really awful.
This is where the chill is, this is where the horror is, when you realise where all the islands...
Where it's all been going to. Yeah.
...have been sort of playing you are for so long throughout the whole... this whole visit.
I think that's also a really important shot when you see all the people watching and they're all just like completely normal people and they're about to murder somebody in a really horrific way. And it's like, that's scary.
The spoilers, the girl that he was like investigating the missing of was right in on it
the
whole time. What a cow.
Yeah, that's pretty creepy. But like Midsommar has a very similar kind of ending where it's so awful you're kind of like, oh, okay, this, you know, this will stay with me. I suppose that's the thing. You know, when a really, really good horror film is good...
Hmm.
It's, I think what you take away from it is a sense that you'll remember a bit of it for a long time and you'll always be a little bit uneasy with it. You know, like The Exorcist and
The Omen. Yeah.
You know, there's always a moment in a horror film where you think, I'm always going to remember the bit where What's-His-Face gets his head cut off with a piece of glass in The Omen.
Oh, is that David Warner?
David Warner, yes. Always good value, David Warner.
Yeah.
We should watch that as well. It's great. Yeah, so have I got any more notes of things that we should talk about?
I think it was like you're right about the bits that stay with you. I mean, we did go quiet, like you said. I think the bit that got to me was just like at the end when he was in the wicker construction, and he was like trying to shout Jesus at them and everything, and he was, you know, absolutely going out of his mind, basically. And then he just like kind of like slumped down and sort of like seemed to like give up, and then you didn't really see much of him after that. He was just like burning. It's like the kind of like the sadness and sort of the anguish kind of got melded, and that's his like moment when he was like going, oh, okay, you know,
I'm
stuffed. This is horrible. What an amazingly shit situation I found myself.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, the shot with the part of it that I remember is the shot where the Wicker Man is kind of completely burnt up and the head starts to kind of bow.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's such a cool horror image, you know. Very dark.
It is, isn't it?
But yeah, all in all, I enjoyed it, actually. I thought it was very good. Did you enjoy it in the end?
I did, but thankfully I've got insomnia, so I'm not having nightmares at the moment. I think it was great. I mean, this is, if nothing else, a good exercise in watching films that we should see.
Yes.
We know we should, we just don't get around to. And, you know, it's, oh, you can't tell me what to watch, man.
Okay. Yeah, no, I, you know, there's often a reason that old classic films are considered classics. And it's a lesson that I've learned over and over again, you know.
So just one that sprang to mind just then was Casablanca. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen Casablanca.
That was a revelation. I was like, okay, let's give it a go then. It was a completely different film than what I was expecting.
Yeah.
And so I really got into it, but that's like nothing to do with The Wicker Man.
But you know, it's true. I think often films that really last and are considered classic films do so because they don't really age, because they've been made in some way that really taps into human stuff that will always be relevant. Like, for example, at Christmas this year, you made me watch that Jimmy Stewart film. Which I can't remember the name of now.
Yeah, God, I had to get the rope and everything and sort of tie you down. And like, can you just, like, do, like, the whole Clockwork
Orange? A Wonderful Life.
Which is a great film.
Which is a great film, it turns out. And as my point is that it's kind of, it still felt entirely watchable and modern. You know, I didn't feel bored by it at any point, you know. And I have watched a lot of boring old films, let me tell you.
I can believe it. This is why I sleep so much when you're watching.
No. Yeah, so it's worth going back and revisiting things that you haven't seen, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, we should do it more, but cause like myself, speaking for myself personally, as previously mentioned, I'm an idiot.
Whatever. So, shall we? I think that I looked up The Wicker Man online, like you do. And
did you research?
I did. Well, I did a tiny bit of research. Yeah, I am a nerd. I think my favorite thing that came out of it was that the Wicker Man idea came from the reports of Julius Caesar's campaigns in Gaul. Or what is now France.
What?
And there's just like apparently one sentence where he described how they took their worst criminals and then just burnt them in a, you know, like a massive wicker construction. And the idea was so horrific that it kind of bore into this whole thing. Which apparently it was a film. Before it was a film, it was a book called The Ritual.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, that's the whole this whole seed of where it came from.
I did not know that. This is new news. There's so much I don't know about things. It's unbelievable. That's probably quite believable if you've met me.
I was wondering if we should watch the remake, the American version, or not.
No!
Have we seen it? I feel like we might have seen it and then not. I've wiped it from my brain.
We have watched it.
We have watched it.
Not the bees.
Not the bees. Yeah. The Nicolas Cage one.
No, we're not watching it again.
Okay.
I will definitely sleep through that. I'll take sleeping pills just to make sure.
Fair enough, to be honest. So, yeah, so what are we going to do next episode? Do you have any ideas of what time travel things we might be talking about?
I've got a few things in mind. I might keep it a little bit secret, so keep you on the edge.
What, just me?
Yeah, just your okay. Our mums who might listen to this.
Because there are a lot of time travel films. That's, I mean, a there lot.
Are. There are.
There are a lot. And a lot of really shit ones on, like, I've Amazon
seen
Prime.
So many shit time travel films. So after my my treatment stuff and I've been on the sofa and watching all this
you've watched some really amazingly terrible stuff.
Oh my God, they've been awful. Yeah. I think they've changed me badly as a person. An adverse effect on my personality. I'll go out and kick puppies.
Oh, this is what happens when you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. regularly, though. Your standards are so low that you will literally watch anything.
Can I say something about the last ever episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh, have you watched it now?
Yeah, I'm assuming it was the last one because it was the very last episode.
Did they all die?
It was absolute bobbins.
Oh.
It was like, I just spent the whole episode going, what? What's this? What? That doesn't make sense. What's going on? You know, it's like more so than the whole of the series put together.
Oh,
they all crammed in the fuckery into one episode.
Oh dear. On a scale of like 1 to Star Trek Enterprise's last episode, how bad was it?
Oh, that's reopening old wounds. Trigger warning.
Oh,
Enterprise
sorry.
Last episode.
God, even I'm angry about that and I didn't fucking watch it.
Oh, Riker, just leave it alone.
Oh.
So what was the actual question? I was just like, I've gone into a depression.
No, it's all right. We were just talking about how bad the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was, which is not what this podcast is about, so we don't have to talk about it. It's fine.
Yeah, I might have to rewatch it and make notes, and then I'll do another podcast about it. But I'll do that for you so you don't have to.
All right, thank you. So as we round off the episode,
yes,
is there anything that you've been particularly enjoying that you would like to pass on to other people?
It's like not non-genre related.
Well, anything you like.
I'm really terrible at podcasts, and many of my friends do amazing podcasts, and I don't listen because I think I've mentioned I'm an idiot.
Only 4 or 5 times.
There's two at the moment. If you've not watched Auntie Donna on Netflix, then you're ill to me. and you should do it. I only realised the other day that they have a podcast. They've had a podcast for many years. And there's like literally about 300 or 400 episodes I've got to get through.
But you would recommend the podcast?
Yeah, it's... I don't know if I remember Soldiers of Tangent with me, Danny Davies and Dave Probert.
Obviously I remember it, yes.
Which is absolutely fantastic. It's kind of like that, but ruder. They're much more obscene in real life. Yeah. They've toned it down for the telly, but on their podcast, and as I think some of their live shows that I've been watching as well, they're very naughty boys.
Yeah.
Very cheeky boys.
Cheeky boys.
The other one I've only just started listening to is the Man Up to Cancer, podcast, which is great if you've been through that. If you know someone who's been through that, it's good. It's not taking itself too seriously. You know, cancer can be funny.
If you say so. I'm not allowed to say that.
So. Yes, you are, because you've lived with someone who's gone through that weird experience.
So is it like a general chat podcast?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, they have a few guests in. There's this, the main thing is the group on Facebook, the Man Up to Cancer. And like manning up in this sense means not being like a macho manly man. It means seeking help and offering assistance. It's we're better together than as like an idiot lone wolf.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's sort of taking back the term man up, isn't it?
Absolutely.
To mean something else.
Yeah, which is good. It's just something that, you know, I've found I needed.
Yeah.
You know, I needed to hear that, and I've felt the support myself. That's it's really good. So I'm going to carry on, you know, crack on listening to that and enjoying the heck out of cancer talk.
Fun times. I was just trying to think, what have I been... Nothing as worthy, to be honest, as podcasts about cancer. But I've been listening to, in terms of podcasts, I'm still listening to You Must Remember This, which is an amazing podcast about Hollywood, specifically the first 100 years of Hollywood. And it's a secret and forgotten history, which is incredible. Like, every episode is so well researched. It's fantastic. I'm currently listening to their season about Polly Platt, exactly, the invisible woman of Hollywood, who was behind a lot of very big and famous films of the 70s and 80s, but didn't really get the credit she deserved, whereas her husband, who was a director for a few of them, got loads of credit.
Typical.
Yeah. But it's such a great series and really kind of eye-opening about how Hollywood works. Or worked in the 60s and 70s and 80s, and I just love it. And I've listened to a lot. It's the only podcast I seem to get on with without kind of falling asleep, but that might be because I am listening to it while I'm walking around the park, and if I fall asleep in the park, that would be bad.
That's the thing. I can't listen to audio stuff and relax, because I just within 5 minutes, I'm gone. It's like, you know, put me in front of a film after dinner, I'm gone.
This
is why I don't watch like things like Midsommar. And...
what else would I? We've also just finished watching Kim's Convenience on Netflix, which was brilliant and really lovely. If you have watched all of Schitt's Creek and are really missing a really wholesome sitcom that just makes you happy, then you should watch Kim's Convenience, because it's brilliant. Also watching WandaVision, which is great. Really loving that. Yeah, so the only other thing I have to plug is my own book.
Do so. What is it called?
So my first ever crime thriller comes out in July from HarperCollins, if you're in the UK, and from Crooked Lane in the US, if you are in the US. Although it's called A Dark and Secret Place in the US for complicated reasons, which is a dark thriller with a lot of folklore and grim fairy tale elements to it. And it mainly concerns serial killers. And that's called Dog Rose Dirt in the UK, and it's out in July.
I was looking forward to it. I've not read it yet.
No, you haven't, because you don't read my books until they're properly finished.
That's right.
No.
Yeah, because I don't want to hate you.
Yeah, I don't want you reading my terrible shit before it's been edited. Nobody wants that. So that's it. So... should we sign off now?
Let's sign off.
Say this is the end of the Box Room podcast. It's probably been, if you were an old listener of the Box Room podcast, it's probably been slightly different to what you remember, because it didn't involve any kind of weird, like little songs about pornography. Do you remember that? Dirty fan mail. And what's his face? Chesticles reading out strange things. Do you remember we used to do that too? Sorry, this is like a really, really not relevant unless you've listened to the podcast.
If you were there, this is like not very fascinating.
but yeah, that was. I mean, I feel like we've carried on the tone of Box Room.
But actually, we're by keeping the same presenters.
Yes, the spirit of Box Room is irrepressible.
But no porn, apart from the
no porn this time.
Boobies that we saw.
Oh yeah, apart from talking about the muffs and boobs that we were previously.
Big rising willy.
I love that you said that, and no one's going to know what that was referencing apart from us.
That was dirty fan mail. Oh, sorry.
Anyway, so next time we will be talking about a time travel film that we haven't decided yet.
Non-specified time travel.
Non-specified. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much for listening, if you did this. And if you didn't, then you won't hear us thanking you.
No. You can follow me on Twitter at Senny Dreadful. And Marty is on Twitter as...
Doug Strider.
Confusingly.
I know, sorry about that.
Yeah.
But I am fucking funny.
So thank you and good night.
Cheers all.
Change the world, you'll be amazed. So full of praise when we rearrange your world. We're gonna change. Come with us, run with us. We're gonna change the world, you'll be amazed. So full of praise when we rearrange your world. We're gonna change. So come with us, run with us. We're gonna change.
Motherfucker!
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.